FCC Chairman Ajit Pai has said he wants the commission to repeal net neutrality rules, and that could come as soon as Thursday when he and his four fellow commissioners meet. That has a number of groups concerned about how difficult it may be for certain areas to get efficient web access. Some communities have already taken steps to develop their own internet service, and others are looking into it as well. To talk more about what that could entail, I'm joined by Jason Kebler. He is editor-in-chief of Motherboard. Jason, since the FCC is expected to repeal net neutrality, do you think we're going to see the bigger steps taken by smaller communities to build their own internet infrastructure?
I hope that people will look into building their own internet infrastructure. Already, there are a lot of states that have looked into this, and many cities and local towns have built their own municipal broadband. The fastest internet in the United States is not provided by a major telecom. It's provided by EPB, which is an electric company in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're starting to see a lot more cities build their own fiber internet to the home, and even nonprofits and community groups building internet infrastructure that otherwise wouldn't be there.
What are the advantages if a large telecom is providing the internet access, and what are the advantages of a city having its own as long as they can make it efficient?
Most of the United States is serviced by a large internet telecom provider. The advantage here is that, for the most part, you know, you don't have to think about it. You call up Comcast or Verizon or Optimum, and they come to your house, install something, and you pay them $50 a month, and you have the internet. The downside here is that they have an enormous amount of control over your service. Often, we don't get the speeds that they advertise. Often, if they don't come to your neighborhood, you're kind of out of luck and you have to go with DSL or even dial-up in many parts of the country. So what we've seen is communities that have been ignored by big telecom are taking matters into their own hands. A lot of these municipal broadband networks are being built in towns and rural areas that don't have a fiber connection via big telecom. So what they're doing is they're passing legislation or ordinances that allow them to basically run fiber directly to their constituents' homes. Oftentimes it's paid for by taxpayer money. Other times it's paid for by grants. Other times it's completely self-financed via bonds and paid back because a lot of these networks are profitable.
And are these trends that you're seeing in more and more places, is there one of those aspects you're seeing more of, whether it's because, you know, obviously with cities and communities, they always have to look so closely at what the budget is like. So when you mentioned grants, that intrigued me as well.
So the beautiful thing about this is that there are many different models for getting online, and it's different depending on population density, other competitors, local government rules and regulations. In some states, governments aren't allowed to be internet service providers, so they build the infrastructure, but then private companies take over the actual operation of it. And then we're also seeing a lot of purely private internet service provider startups. So there's a company called Ting, which was a wireless provider, or still is a wireless provider, but provides fiber internet in Westminster, Maryland, as well as a couple other cities around the country. There's Sonic, which is a big internet provider in California, or rather a small one, but it's one of the more popular and established small internet service providers. And so we're seeing a lot of people take this as a business opportunity because big telecom companies are often some of the least liked companies in the country because telecom is both difficult, but also because there's no choice. So if you have a bad experience with Comcast, you can't change in many, and you can't change to Verizon in many cases. So what we're seeing is people just trying to build new infrastructure, get online via any means possible. And we're seeing a lot of different models all over the country.
Are there certain pitfalls that a smaller community may run into in trying to set this up that the big telecom wouldn't just because by virtue of being big?
Yeah, so obviously it's expensive to build a true fiber network that runs to everyone's house. You have to dig up the ground. You have to do what's known as last mile, which is connecting, every last house. So if you're not in a densely populated area, that can be really expensive. You know, a lot of these networks struggle to be sustainable. Big telecom companies can subsidize the cost of building in rural areas if they wanted by, raising the prices in other areas or by making profits in other parts of the country. So that is one of the pitfalls of having a small network. The good news is that a lot of the infrastructure is getting a lot cheaper. There's a lot of new advances in terms of wireless infrastructure that is almost as good as wired infrastructure and is obviously much cheaper because you don't have to run you know, a fiber cable 5 miles down to my neighbor's house. If you live in a rural area, you can just put a big antenna on the top of your barn or something, which is something that we've actually seen in parts of Ohio. You have people climbing up to the top of their grain silos, putting big antennas up there, and then servicing, you know, 15, 20 miles worth of area with just one antenna.
The grassroots aspect of this is so fascinating on many levels. And I know this is not an apples to apples comparison, but it sort of reminds some of us about how so many people are cutting the cord or not even taking up the cord because they want to have the choice and make their own choice on this and not be ruled by these big companies.
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely, I would call it a movement to take ownership of our technology. And that's certainly something we've seen with cord cutting. People want more choice. People want to feel like they have some sort of ownership over what they're doing with their technology. And I think that's what's happening here. We're certainly in the infancy stages of this movement, I'd say. You know, there's a lot of really mature networks that have been built by small governments. But what we're starting to see is a lot of nonprofit and community groups and startup ISPs building in areas as well. The price of a lot of this technology is coming down to the point where you can afford to build a rudimentary network for just a couple $1,000s.
Jason Kebler is editor-in-chief for Motherboard. The FCC is expected to hold its vote on net neutrality on Thursday.